Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone here this morning. How many of you have a dream for your life?
Yeah, there we go.
Retirement.
Amen.
I thought you retired like 10 years ago, Marty.
Well, don't tell everybody.
Hey, we're in the second week of our series called Chase the Lion, and we're in 2 Samuel, and last week we landed in 2 Samuel chapter 23, and starting in verse 20, it says this. This is where we were last week. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was a valiant fighter from Kabzeel, who performed great exploits. And the writer's so nonchalant about this. He struck down two of Moab's best men. He also went into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. Nothing big about that, right? And he struck down a huge Egyptian. Although the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, Benaiah went against him with a club. He snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. Such were the exploits of Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. He too was as famous as the three mighty men. He was held in greater honor than any of the 30, but he was not included among the three. And David put him in charge of his bodyguard. It's an amazing story, pretty impressive. He went down on a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. And that one decision totally changed Benaiah's life. Most people would have said that guy is crazy, right? Like, I ain't jumping down no pit in a snowy day and killing a lion. That's just crazy. Any normal person would have run away from a lion, not to them. But lion chasers don't run away. Lion chasers run to the roar. They don't see a 500-pound problem. They seize opportunity by the mane. They don't take flight. They fight to the death for their dreams. And here's the truth. You are one idea, one risk, one decision away from a totally different life. It'll probably be the toughest decision you ever have to make, the scariest risk you ever have to take. But this is what we said last week. If your dream doesn't scare you, it's too small. If your dream does not scare you, it is too small. Why is that true? Because when we have small dreams, when we lack the guts to go after 500-pound lions, we rob God the opportunity to show up and show off. A God-sized dream will be beyond your ability, beyond your resources, and unless God does it, it can't be done. And that's precisely how God gets the glory. So don't let fear hold you back. Go after those God-sized dreams. Today we're going to learn that great conflict cultivates great character. Great conflict cultivates great character. If you want to live an epic life, you have to overcome some epic challenges. Anyone going through some epic challenges right now? Anybody? Those challenges where you say to yourself, man, how am I going to get through this? When you have this epic challenge in your life, you must take some epic risks, make some epic sacrifices. Three stories that I'm reminded of in the Bible. One, David picking a fight with Goliath, right? Big old giant, 9 foot some tall. Little old teenage David. Goliath's making fun of the whole Israelite army, and they're all shaking in their boots, and David comes out with a little slingshot, right? Kills Goliath. We just read one. Benaiah chased a lion into a pit on a snowy day and killed it. It's pretty epic. Today we're going to learn about another guy named Josheb. Josheb took a stand when apparently the rest of the army fled. Here's the thing. In every storyline, there's what we would call defining moments, right? Any good movie has defining moments, right? I mean, that's why we watch the movies, because they're entertaining. There's these defining moments. The technical term in terms of plot structure is inciting incident. This is what we refer to as the turning point or a tipping point. It's the point of no return. When David ran out at Goliath, that was an inciting incident, right? Inciting incidents come in two basic forms. One, things that happen to you that you cannot control. Things that happen to you that you cannot control. Anyone ever experienced one of those? Yeah? Yeah, a couple of us. All the rest of you are lying in church. Things happen all the time that you and I cannot control, right? Things just happen that are out of your control. But no matter which way it happens, you can always control your reaction. Number two, things that you make happen that you can control is the second one. The second inciting incident is things you make happen that you can control. You can always control your reaction. 2 Samuel 23, verse 8 is where we're going to be this morning. If you have your Bibles, we'll probably have it on the screen also. 2 Samuel 23, verse 8, it says this. These are the names of David's mighty men. Josheb-Bassabeth, a Tachmonite, was chief of the three. Now check this out. He raised his spear against 800 men whom he killed in one encounter. That's awesome, right? That's one bad dude. I wouldn't want to come across him in an alley, right? I mean, can you imagine? When we read this, we don't even understand what is going on here or the things that are happening. Can you imagine how long it would have to take, would have taken to battle and kill an army of 800 men? Like, we're talking hours, maybe a whole day, right? That's 800 to 1 odds. This battle likely took hours, maybe even a whole day. The rest of the army may have retreated, but not this one guy, Josheb. He grabbed his spear and he charged forward, not caring about what his odds were. And he won a battle against 800 soldiers. It's pretty awesome. And that's why he just wasn't one of the three mighty men, but he was the chief of the three. But here's what I want to point out to you. And I think this would be easy to just read right past the end of the verse. And I think this phrase is very important. It says, in one encounter. Everybody say, in one encounter. Such a simple phrase, but that phrase is powerful. Because that's what all it takes. That's all it takes. Listen to me. You are one encounter away from your destiny. One off-the-cuff conversation, one crazy idea, or a glance across the crowded room can change everything. That's exactly why my wife and kids and I are doing ministry here at FBC. We may not be here if it had not been one off-the-cuff conversation my wife had. Before we came here, over 7 years ago as youth pastor, I was between ministry jobs and I was working for Kara's parents at the pizza barn. And so we were living up in Pioneer doing that. We just had Riley. She was a baby. And I was playing softball up here at the park for my in-laws' church. And I was actually up to bat and one of those storms comes sweeping in. It's the kind you can see coming, like it just, the rain's sweeping in. And everybody kind of scattered, and I ran to go see where Kara was because she had the baby, and she had already taken off to go to the van, so I hunkered in underneath the dugout. But what I didn't know is Kara had taken off to go to her parents' van, and the van was locked. And so she's hunkered underneath a tree in the storm with our baby, and some guy comes up to her and says, "Hey, how can I help you?" And Kara, being the bright one she is, goes, "Here, take my baby and go to your car." And he goes, "Why don't you come with me?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, that's probably probably a better idea." And so she goes to the car and with this guy, and they're sitting there waiting for the snowstorm to come, and they begin a conversation. And she, what? Oh, snowstorm? And there was a lion in a pit, and I killed it. Pretty sweet story. Sorry. A rainstorm. I'm not perfect, I know. rainstorm. That'd be actually a better story, though, right? Maybe I have to change that story a little bit later. So a rainstorm, and her and this guy being in this conversation, they just start talking and find out he's a pastor. And my wife was like, oh, yeah, my husband's a pastor, and he's between ministry right now, and he's a youth pastor and things like that. And he says, well, you know, if I ever come across anything, I'll you know, get his information and see what we, you know, see what we have. And then, well, we ended up, the game got canceled. We ended up leaving. We're driving away. We're driving down the street, and my father-in-law is like, somebody's behind us flashing his lights. It's this guy. It ends up being Jeremy Brown, who was on staff at New Hope several years back. And he said, hey, I don't know why I didn't think about this, but I know a church that's looking for a youth pastor, First Brethren Church. Can I give you their information? I said, sure, you know, why not? That's how we got here. One crazy encounter, a snowstorm that turned into rain. But one off-the-cuff conversation, one crazy thing that happened, and it changed the course of our lives forever. You know, we came here as youth pastor, not knowing that one day we'd be standing up here as lead pastor. Just, it's crazy how God does stuff. The Bible story I was thinking about this week is the story of Rahab. You know the story of Rahab, right? The Battle of Jericho was one of the most significant turning points in Jewish storyline. It was the first victory in the Promised Land, but the key to victory was an act of kindness. One act of kindness. And that act of kindness is the key to your salvation. The Israelites sent two spies into Jericho. You remember the story, right? Sent two spies in to do reconnaissance, and they were nearly captured, but it was a prostitute named Rahab who saved their lives by risking hers. You know, harboring spies was treason, so she probably would have been killed. And before helping these two spies escape, she cut a deal with them. She simply asked them to return the favor. So, like, I know what's about to happen. Some bad stuff's going to happen. But please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I've shown kindness to you. Right? You remember that? Now here's the thing. Rahab was thinking exclusively of her immediate family. Follow me? It was a present tense request. Save me and my family. But it had future tense ramifications. You follow me? By showing kindness to Rahab, those Jewish spies were also showing kindness to her great-great-grandson David. That one act of kindness had ripple effects across nations and generations. Rahab converted to Judaism at the age of 50. She fell in love with Solomon, a Jewish man from the tribe of Judah. They had a son named Boaz, who had a son named Obed, who had a son named Jesse, who had a son named David. It may sound like a stretch, but one act of kindness had something to do with your salvation. If Rahab hadn't saved the lives of the spies, and if the spies hadn't saved the life of Rahab, she would have missed the opportunity to be part of the line and lineage of Jesus. That line and lineage would have been cut off 18 generations before his birth in Bethlehem. You are a secondary beneficiary of the act of kindness. You are one encounter away from your destiny. What was true for Josheb and Rahab is true for you. You have to make a move. You have to make a move. You have to choose. Are you going to retreat like everyone else, or are you going to stand your ground and hope for the best against these 800 warriors? You have to make a move. You can't just sit and wait for it to happen. Listen to this. Mismanaged success is the leading cause of failure. If you can't handle success, it will cause you to fail. But well-managed failure is the leading cause of success. Well-managed failure is the leading cause of success. You won't be successful in everything you do. But why let fear of failure hold you back? Just try again, right? You have to make a move. Here's a question for you. What do you need to do to make your dream happen? What do you need to do to make your dream happen? Maybe it's taking that first step of faith or burning some bridges behind you. This might seem like a dumb question, but do you know that in baseball, we got any baseball fans in here? I know Gene is. I think I got a couple. Yeah, there we go. In baseball, Mason, you play baseball, don't you? Can you steal second base if your foot is always on first base? That's impossible, right? You cannot steal second base if you keep your foot on first base. You cannot go to second base if you're, man, it's kind of a far off play. I don't know if I can make it. What if that pitcher throws the ball over to me? Kind of scared. What happens if this happens or this happens? You have to get off the base, right? You have to take a lead off. And when he throws that pitch, you just got to go. You can't hesitate or you're gone. If you aren't ready when that pitch is thrown, you're not going to make it. And if your foot is stuck on first base, and there's so many people here this morning and you're trying to do something, but you got your foot stuck on first base, you're going to get thrown out. You're never going to make it to second base. You can't steal second base when your foot is on first base. You got to move. Sure, the odds are stacked against you. They always are. But in the end, as long as we don't quit, we win. Amen? Right? Say amen about that. That should excite you. We win. No matter what happens, we win. So why are we so afraid? But we may get thrown out at second, Pastor Brent. You're right, you might. But here's the point. You won't know if you don't try. Right? Who cares if you get thrown out in second? I was thinking about this week. What if in baseball that happened? Like the coach sends a signal to the guy on first and the guy's like, I ain't going. I got thrown out last game. I ain't doing that ever again. How long would he be on the team, right? In baseball, in order to win some games, you got to make some steals. You got to make some moves. In life, you have to make some moves if you're going to win. This church has to make some moves if we're going to do something powerful for Jesus. Why are we so afraid in the church world? Why are we so afraid to fail? Do you have the courage to make your dream a reality? Dreams are highly contagious. My dream is to reach lost souls here in Williams County. That's my dream. That's why I'm here. Did you know that according to a survey in 2010, that 59% of people in Williams County said they had none when it came to religious affiliations? Did you know that? And that's 2010. I'm sure the number's higher now, right? My dream is about pursuing God in my life and pursuing his lost sons and daughters in this county. Is anyone with me? Or are you just happy with punching your weekly Sunday time card? Ooh. It's a little uncomfortable, isn't it? I'm not satisfied just punching a weekly time card. I want to make a difference in people's lives. I'm ready to pursue God-sized dreams. Mark Batterson said this quote, "We don't die when our hearts stop beating. We die when our hearts stop skipping a beat in pursuit of our passions." That's good. That's good stuff. Your death day isn't the day you die. It's the day you stop living for your dream. Man, a lot of us, I think sometimes we stop living for our dream. And ironically, we start living the day we discover a dream worth dying for. I mean, that's what the mighty men of David found, right? A cause worth living for and a dream worth dying for. I don't care if I have to go in a pit on a snowy day to fight a lion. I don't care if I have to go up against 800 men. It's a dream worth fighting for. It's a cause worth dying for. Are you dead or are you alive? Are you living all out for Jesus? Are you a lion chaser? Does your heart break for the things that break God's heart? 59% of people here in Williams County are unchurched. And as I said, that was 2010, probably higher now. Because let's face it, the church across the board, the numbers are declining, and I think it's a lot because we're not doing our job. 59%. Let me put a number to that. That's over 22,000 people in this county. 22,000 people. And when you're out in the community, you can see through the brokenness of people what breaks the heart of God. Do the things that break the heart of God break your heart? Do you care about those 22,000 people? Because you see, it's just a big obscure number, isn't it? But in reality, that number has a name. It's Mike. It's Thelma. It's Rick. It's Rod. It's Mason. Every number has a name. Every name has a story, and every story matters to God. And we were a part of that number until Jesus saved us, right? It's Nettie. It's Nate. It's Ned. Folks, we don't know where our seeds are going to go, but we got to keep planting seeds. We have to keep dreaming. We have to keep caring. We cannot stop. We cannot get comfortable. We cannot get complacent. Someone's son or daughter is counting on it. Someone's aunt or uncle is counting on it. Someone's mom and dad. Someone is counting on us to be Jesus with skin on into our community and keep dreaming until we reach those 22,000 people. And I got news for you. I, Brent Sloan, cannot do it. I just can't. I can't do it. I can't impact 22,000 people. But you know how I can impact 22,000 people? By impacting you. And you, and you, all of you. And then you go out and impact other people every day, all day long. Well, Brent, I just don't know many unsaved people. Well, it sounds like you just found out your first problem. Right? Sounds like you need to find some unsaved people to hang out with. That's what Jesus did, right? Jesus, if Jesus was here today, he would not be hanging out in church. Sorry. My Jesus would be hanging out in the bars, hanging out where there are unsaved people at. He'd be out in the community doing ministry. That's what my Jesus does. Sounds like you need to find some lost sheep that you can tend to. There's over 22,000 of them. Will you pray with me? God, will you break our hearts for what breaks yours? God, help us here at FBC to dream. Actually, help us to dream again and not just some small insignificant dreams. Help us to move in our faith and dream God-sized dreams, Dreams that are beyond our ability and beyond our resources. Dreams where unless you do it, it can't be done. That way, when it happens, when you show up and show off, we can truly give you the glory. And we can see that number of 22,000 people just disappear. If 12 men can literally change the course of history in the world, and millions of people have become to know you because of the ministry that they started. Wow, imagine what a church of 120, 140 could do. 22,000 is like a drop in the bucket compared to that. Father, help us never to be fearful of failing. Help us to continue to strive to do new things, new inventive ways to reach more people with the love that you have for them, the grace that you have for them. Father, we love you and we thank you for everything you're doing in our lives, everything you're doing in the life of this church, and everything you're about to do. Because of what we do and what we say when you give us the opportunity to step up. I hope we have the courage to do it. I hope we have the courage to stand against 800 men. When everybody else is fleeing, no, I'm going to stand my ground because I got a big Jesus. I got a big size God. When we have these lions, Father, help us to not run from the lions, but we run to the roar. And we grab those God-sized dreams. And we say, hey, you don't think it can be done? Watch what God's about to do. Father, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray.